Welcome to Berenson Bond Podcast, episode 120, with your host Corey and Diego Berenson. Hello, Diego.
Hello, Corey.
Hey. So, how's it feel to be super tall? You're taller than your grandma. You're taller than your mom. You're almost taller than me.
Feels great.
Feels good.
Awesome.
You were an infant, and now you stand taller than members of your family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool, huh?
Uh-huh.
I think you grew last night because you slept 11 hours.
Yeah, I did.
You did?
I did.
And you got taller again.
I did.
So if I want to get taller than you, what do I need to do?
You should buy those 5-inch soles.
You want me to wear high heels? High heels.
No. Those 5-inch expandable soles and put them in your shoe and never take off your shoes.
That's man high heels.
No, they just make you taller.
Oh, okay.
So just wear those soles, put them in your shoe, and then just never take off your shoes.
Ooh. We don't want to tell on a certain friend we have that uses those. We won't say any names, but I really want to say it. But yes, they exist and they work.
Well, that's like the shoe.
Well, yeah.
But I'm saying there's soles that you can change the height that
you want to inside your shoe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you can buy those shoes that already has the vertical where it looks like a normal tennis shoe, but you're basically wearing high heels inside of a tennis shoe. So all you short guys out there, I don't know what it's like to be short. I have no idea. I'm used to being pretty tall, So maybe you little guys can use that to help you out. But us tall guys, we don't really need it. I don't even think about it.
Exactly.
You know, I'm just used to looking down, you know, just habit.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know? Everybody.
Understandable.
But in reality, if I meet dudes shorter than me, it weirds me out a little bit.
Mm.
You know why?
Why?
I don't know why. Because it rarely happens. It's like, I don't know, I'm seeing something weird. Like, whoa, what? Who is this super tiny human? How are you shorter than me? I'm the shortest person 98% of the time.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Same.
No, you're tall. You're taller than 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people in your family. Maybe more.
That I'm still short.
You're taller than
compared
people.
Compared to literally all of my friends.
Nope. I saw one friend shorter.
Who?
Dylan.
Yeah, that's it.
One.
That's it.
Everybody else was probably a foot taller than you.
Literally 6 foot. Like everybody. 5'8", 5'7", 5'10".
How are they almost 6 feet? They're in eighth grade.
I don't know. Well, because that's normal eighth grade heights.
Okay. So tonight, we'll break your bones. And
what?
Put those, yeah, well, I need to snap your femur so that we can stretch it. And we'll put metal in between. You seen those people that do that?
Oh, my gosh.
It takes a little while, but look, your torso will seem super short, but you'll have these really long thighs, like this crazy long femurs.
So, like, instead of this, it'd be like that?
Yeah. So, those guys.
No.
So, they go to the doctor. They break their femur on purpose. They put a metal cap on each side and a corkscrew in the middle. And they slowly expand it to make your bones be separated, and then your muscle kind of goes around it somehow.
Now, how short do you have to be to like pay
and
money?
And now
to
you
do
have
that?
A double long femur, which makes it actually harder to walk, harder to run. Now, you wanted to be taller, right? In a weird way, you were willing to break your leg, put some weird metal contraption. So, okay, fine, you're taller. You can't walk right. You can't run right. You're going to have these weird back problems. Is it worth being taller?
No.
No, just be short. Be fast. You can walk, run, jump, climb. Now you have these weird long legs and you can't do anything.
Like,
but you're
this?
Like, no, but check me out, bro. I'm tall. But I'm tall.
Having your thighs, or like
imagine
right to your hip, to your knee, being longer than your actual like
yeah, than your
leg.
Shin.
Your shin is really weird.
Super weird.
Like,
because you know why they don't break the shin? Because there's two bones. You know, there's the fibia and the tibia.
No, but now I do.
Okay, so there's a front bone and a little backbone. Well, they're not going to, it's harder to break two bones and get those right when this is just one solid bone. So it's easier to break this one and make it long. And now you have a short shin, a weirdly long thigh.
Yeah.
And you can't walk right. But you're like, oh, I'm 6 feet now. So I'm just saying, it's cool. Don't worry about being short. Doesn't matter. And you're not that short.
I am.
You're not.
Kind of.
You'll be taller than me.
You better be.
Better be taller than me. I will ground you if you're shorter than me. All right, you went back to America.
Yeah, I did.
How's it going back to America? America.
It was good. I liked it.
Did it feel like you were gone for a long time, or did you feel like...
Really long time. Felt like a long time.
What felt weird to you or different that you didn't realize, you didn't think you would notice, but you noticed about going back?
I don't know. I feel like this is a question you have an answer for.
No.
I don't know.
No, I'm asking you.
Oh.
You went back. Did anything seem different, or did it seem like you
like
noticed
when I
something?
Saw my, really about this like, place?
Anything.
My friends were like all 6 foot about.
Yep.
All of them, their voices changed a lot. I don't know. That's really it. Nothing else really different.
Stores, roads, behavior, language. No. Nothing. It just felt like you went on a long vacation.
Yeah.
How'd it feel coming back?
Fine.
Not cold.
Yeah.
Warm.
Hot.
We worked on our tan today.
No.
On January 4th, or whatever day it is today.
Fifth.
Fine. Fifth. That one too. It was hot yesterday. It's hot today. Sames. But more wind.
Yeah.
And it feels good. I like the wind. So what have you been reading? I'm going to read a little bit. Oh, dude, come on. Diego, I'm sorry to say you've got a drinking problem. I don't want to bring it up in public like this, but you got a drinking problem. Diego just poured water all over himself. Busted. You got a drinking problem. Use your cup. Use your face. Not your chest. Say it with your chest. Don't drink it with your chest. Just use your face.
Mouth. What are you talking about?
Water.
I did.
Drink in your water. Okay. Okay. He's drinking now. Properly. As you use a cup, the water goes in your
mouth. Change the subject. Whatever.
Okay, moving on.
Okay.
All right. So we'll skim through this. You just stop me whenever you're confused or worried or concerned. Or just amazed.
Okay. I think you stop yourself.
So, 4 years ago, I listened to all the CDs of this book, which is a course taught by Professor David Christian at San Diego State a long time ago. I did not look up if he's still teaching it. I don't know. But it's a course called Big History, The Big Bang, Life on Earth, and the Rise of Humanity. So it had, I can't remember how many CDs, it had discs I put in the car. Mm. And I would listen all the way to work, all the way home. And it took me months, I don't remember, months to finish all the lectures. And he talked like this. The next chapter I will read like this. This is how he talked for, I can't remember, how many months? Are you asleep yet?
Yes.
But it was such good information. I endured the boringest voice of all time. But it was awesome. And then years went by and I forgot it. So then I'm rereading the book again. I listened to the CDs, then I read the book. basically forgot details, so now I'm reading it again.
Man, how are you gonna make sure you don't forget it?
I don't know. I'm hoping somehow each time a little bit more soaks in. But the main premise is he wanted to do history, but he didn't want to just focus on one slice. He's like, what if there was a class that attempted to tell history from the as far back as we can possibly imagine it and calculate it?
Yeah.
All the way to now. That sounds really hard.
Yes.
So obviously some stuff gets skipped. You're like, okay, big bang, explosion, gases suck together, they explode, suns burn out, they explode, they send more chemicals and components out into space, gravity sucks them together, they start to form, they bang into each other, they get absorbed with gravity, they spin around each other more and more, and it keeps expanding, exploding, expanding, collects. Once it's dense enough, eventually structures happen, water happens, then life. Got it?
What?
Okay. Right?
Yeah. You
know,
exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. So do you want to hear him introduce himself? Nah, boring. No. Let's see. So there's... All right. So there's 48 lectures in this book. Each lecture is like... I don't know, like a thick six book. Pages.
Oh, yeah, I was about to say.
Super short. But, for example, it starts, like, what is big history? Time scales, simplicity to complexity, chemicals, earth and solar system. Then it starts saying life begins, you know, single cell organisms, bacterias. Eventually more complicated animals and life forms.
Mm-hmm.
All the way once life forms are around, how do they start getting along and acting together? Disease. Human histories like medieval times, industrial revolution, 20th century, intellectual explosion,
mm-hmm.
modern revolution. And then human in the next millennium.
Yeah.
Got it?
Uh-huh.
All right. So what do you want to start with? The scale of the cosmos, Earth, single cell, mammalian, you, human history, agrarian society.
You say mammalian?
Mammalian.
What's that?
Mammal.
Oh, why do they say that?
Because you're a mammal.
So why don't you say mammal?
Because it says mammalian.
Why?
It's way cooler.
No, it's not.
Try it.
Mammal.
Mammalian. Sounds more business. Try it out.
Mammalian.
Ooh, do you have a suit on right now?
I do, actually.
Are you a professor? She's a really big word. All right, do you believe that Neil Armstrong was the first man on the moon?
That's what they said.
Good answer. Good answer. All right. So we're going to start with I underlined nothing. Okay. I'm just going to pop into here. Homo sapiens, about 250,000 years ago, give or take 100,000 years.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's important to know that this professor, I will tell you a little bit about him. Because it is kind of important. Why would he want or care about history from the beginning of ever, starting with Big Bang,
mm-hmm.
all the way to now? So he was born in Brooklyn, then lived in Nigeria, went to school and college in England, got married in Canada, studied as a grad student in Russia, then he taught Russian and Soviet history in Australia before coming to the U.S. That background may explain his interest in global approaches to the past. He was all over the place, all over the world, so many different cultures and languages. The French Annales School of historiography?
Histography.
It looks like historiography. Historiography. Historiography.
Historiography.
Historiography. See? Nailed
Okay.
it. First try.
First try.
School of historiography. See?
Isn't that just history?
No. It's the study of history.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
So it's just history.
It's big words. Vocab. All right, he insisted on seeing history within a larger spatial and temporal context. It had an immense impact on historians of his generation. So, going to jump forward to this next part. Lecture two, early stuff, moving across multiple scales. He's talking about time scales. And he at the beginning of every chapter, he has like this little phrase or I don't know, excerpt from somewhere. Tigers are dangerous, galaxies are not. Bump into a tiger, you have to be able to understand it. You have to be able to deal with it. Bump into a galaxy, and quite frankly, you're not going to need to deal with it. Either it's going to obliterate you and all of us, or it's not. Okay.
Sure.
Got it? It'll
What?
make sense later. Okay. So we saw the big history surveys the past at many different scales. Indeed, one of the unifying ideas of big history and one source of its intellectual power is the idea that what we see at any one scale illuminates what we see at other scales. That makes it very difficult for most history courses, which normally concern themselves with scales of a few decades to a few centuries. So big history requires an understanding of large and temporal scales. But how can we possibly grasp how big or how old our solar system is or the whole universe? This lecture tries to help you deal with multiple scales in both space and time. It's extremely difficult and important to understand such scales. And there's a biological reason why it's difficult. This is what's important to me. Our brains evolved to deal with scales familiar in daily lives, the biological scale. That's when he said, tigers are dangerous, galaxies are not. Okay, we're worried about right now, right here. Immediate stuff. Tiger, you're dead, kind of. Galaxies creeping in. You don't even know. It's just like, boom, your world just exploded. Literally.
Oh no.
Yeah. So we're not really designed by nature to grasp large spatial or chronological scales. An abstract intellectual understanding of deep time comes easily enough. I know how to put many zeros to place after the 10 when I mean billions. Getting it into the gut is quite another matter. So getting a feeling for these large scales is important. Like ants on an elephant, we can see only the wrinkles up close. If we don't stand back, we'll never see the elephant. Each scale within big history brings new things into focus, even if it hides other things. And though we can never really grasp the largest scales, like geologists and astronomers, we can find ways of dealing with them. Any questions? Make sense? Okay. Let's see. Okay. So far, no human has traveled further than Neil Armstrong when he went to the moon. Though two human-made objects, the Voyager has passed the outer planets of our solar system. So this is an old satellite. Okay, the James Webb is already out. It's epic. It's huge. Modified. It's going to have an even further journey. But back in the day, the Voyager left our solar system and is still sending information back
Right now.
right now. It's pretty cool.
Wait, it's
But
out of the Milky Way.
it's out of, no, it's out of
The sun radius.
our planetary
Radius.
radius.
So with the other planets.
So it passed Pluto and still cruising.
Oh, wow.
So to appreciate the scale of the solar system, imagine flying in a normal plane at 550 miles an hour. Just a normal plane ride, okay? To cross the US, it takes about 5 hours, right? Not bad.
In a plane?
In a plane. To go to the moon, you'd be on the plane for 18 days. Okay?
Going 550.
Just going the same, just a normal plane ride for 18 days. You're like, cool, we're at the moon. Finally, it's been 2 weeks. Oh, did you want to go to the sun? That'll take 20 years. So now you are 33. You
Yeah.
made it. That was a long plane ride.
And then I have to be 53
Okay.
when I come back.
It will, you could say, you know what? Instead, you said, oh, I don't want to go to the sun. Let's go to Jupiter. From here, hop in the plane. In 82 years, you'll be at Jupiter.
So I'll be 93. Oh, sorry,
What's
95 when I get to
you'll
Jupiter.
be 95 and you're like, yes, I made it to Jupiter.
I can't go back.
I guess that's it. YOLO.
Never go back.
You haven't even made it to Pluto. You're only at Jupiter. You're 95.
Wait, how is that thing still working though? That
That plane, it just has so much gas.
no, not the plane. The thing that's out of our planetary radius.
It just uses interplanetary gravity. It's using gravity in space to like it's just getting sucked out. In the gravity of dark matter
No, what I'm
is
saying, how
making it
is it
move.
still like working?
We'll have to look it up.
Is it
It
really?
sends a text message and it sends memes now. Super cool.
Wait, so ever since they sent it out, they never brought it back in?
Oh yeah, we're gonna go get it.
No, I'm saying like they sent it out, obviously,
Yeah.
but just let it go.
Of course. Then we want to see what's out there. And now James Webb is able to take pictures from even further than that could.
From here.
From closer. So James Webb was released, I think, last year, the year before. Huge. And that the pictures coming back from that are better than anything we've ever seen. It can see further into space. It's awesome. All right. So to Jupiter, you'll be 95, right? And it would take you 750 years to reach Pluto, the edge of our solar system.
Pluto's that far out.
If you're in a plane, yeah. And when you're 700 and, how would I say, 750? So you'll be 763 years old. You made it to the edge of our solar system.
Of
Just ours. Now, there are visibly billions of solar systems. Billions.
how many in the Milky Way?
I don't know. Maybe he says it here. These are distances our minds can no longer grasp, right? Our teeny tiny solar system of nine planets. I know Pluto's not a planet, whatever.
It's not a planet.
It's a dwarf.
Didn't it used to be called a planet, but they
Yeah,
changed
it
it?
was so cool. It was a planet, and then it got demoted.
But
They're like,
why?
you're not even a planet, bro. Do you even planet? No.
Why?
I don't know. I can't remember.
How do they just automatically just change
This,
it?
it's too small. It's not even cool anymore. It's just a tag along rock. But you'd be 763 years old just to reach our solar system. So you're like, cool, I'm 763. Or let's say you sent your family on there. That would be like 10 greats, 10 generations or something that they're like, oh, made it. Now we can go to another solar system. How far is that? I don't know.
Very long.
I think the next closest one is Alpha Centauri. Yeah, here it is. So the next nearest star. So like the sun, our sun has nine planets. The next stop, the next stop. You're like, cool, we bounce from this solar system. Let's go
On to the
visit.
next sun.
Let's go to the next sun, check out those planets. The next near star is Alpha Centauri, which is about, it says 4.3 light years or 25 trillion miles away, right? How long would it take you to go to the next closest solar system? Easy. It says 5 million years.
So I'll be 5 million and 13 years old.
You'll be 5 million and 13, and you made it to the very closest next star. Cosmologically, that's a walk next door. Now, if it takes you 5 million years to go to the very next closest solar system, can you imagine going to the furthest solar system we can see?
In the
James Webb can see. Out of all these billions of solar systems, whatever the furthest one is. There's not even a, they have to make up a word for how many, the number, what the number is of years. The word doesn't exist for the number.
It doesn't? There's no number for it?
It's got to be bigger than Googleplex.
What's Google?
Googleplex is the number one with 100 zeros. And I don't even think that's enough. It would take that many years.
Well, that, but like even more.
Yeah, probably more than Googleplex years.
Not more than Googleplex, but like three Googleplex.
Yeah, three Googleplexes of years.
Is that where Googles came from?
I think so.
Because they're so big?
Because so many searches. But do you, like, are your my mind's ready to explode. And now there's governments and Air Force saying, yeah, okay, cool, we've had visitors. Aliens come here. Of course, other stuff is out there. You're going to tell me in billions of solar systems,
yes,
with similar planets, mm-hmm, with water, mm-hmm, that nothing ever evolved, nope, anywhere ever?
Nope.
We're special?
Yep.
We probably are. We're probably the only one that looks like us. But are the other ones older? Yes. Newer? Maybe. We don't know. We think it's from the future, but what if it's just equal and they just evolved the same?
What about the aliens?
We are aliens.
No, they're aliens.
No, we're aliens.
No, they're aliens.
No, they're just another life form.
They're just aliens.
We need a cooler name.
We're humans.
So I'll here answer your question. So how many of these stellar neighbors, how many stars are in? How many do we have? There are about 100 billion stars in our
Milky Way,
just ours.
100 billion.
100 billion stars.
Suns.
Let's say they all had nine, so that's 900. Let's just make it the same. 900 billion planets.
So that's 900 billion planets. Suns. So oh, sorry.
100 billion
suns.
Potentially 900 billion planets in only the Milky Way.
And there's a lot of other Milky Ways.
Yes. And it says, most are separated by a plane flight of at least 5 million years. And how many galaxies are in our universe? About 100 billion. So there's about 100 billion stars in the Milky Way. Let's say 900 billion planets in the Milky Way. And there's about 100 billion Milky Ways. With another, so it'll be 100 billion Milky Ways. So it'd be 900 billion times 100 billion. That's 4 zeros. So that'd be 99,000 billion planets.
9,000 right? billion?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. 9 trillion. 9 trillion planets.
900,000 million.
9
billion.
Trillion planets.
And we're the only ones.
Yeah. We're super cool. We do memes. I think we should use the James Webb to send a meme out to outer space that says, do you even meme, bro? What do you think?
No.
Do you even lift, bro?
No. Probably don't. I don't know. They're just green with black green eyes.
You know what I think? Here's my worry. We evolve. We become weird aliens with big eyes. flying through space from planet to planet, solar system to solar system. And I bet their food or whatever they use to consume for energy is garbage. I bet everything is horrible.
Why?
Imagine your worst thing you've ever eaten ever, and that's what they eat. If they even eat at all. I don't, you know what? None of these spaceships says great Italian food on the outside.
Man.
There's no smell of home cooking. I don't smell any burritos and tacos when the door opens and they walk down. No one says, "Oh man, it smells so good, like a really good restaurant." That's my worry. We evolve and we don't enjoy food anymore. No one cares about that. They're like, "This is just an energy source. Here's this little teeny liquid you drink or a pill you take." Because we don't. What are you gonna fill up the space on our spaceship with a kitchen and dishes? And if we don't have water, you're gonna waste it. Get that kitchen out of here. Look, everybody takes pills. We don't do food anymore. There's no, don't talk to me about like, "Oh, let me see your recipe book. Oh, have you been to this place?" That's why I'm cool right now. We enjoy this part. We do it all the time. The future aliens are like, "Ah, you guys spent all day wasting time like cooking, eating, cleaning, talking about it, going to prepare it, growing it, hunting it. I'm busy. I'm trying to fly to other planets. I don't have time to deal."
Exactly.
So would you rather live now or be part of those alien populations in the future that just cruise around poking people at night with your big eyes and be like, "Ooh, you still have squishy skin"?
Where did the concept of the green, big head, black-eyed alien even come from?
Supposedly people, that's what they saw. But again, none of them smell good and none of them smell like food. So if they say, "Come to my ship," say, "Do you have tacos? If you have good tacos, it's a maybe, strong maybe. If they don't have tacos, I'm not going." Period.
But yeah, exactly.
What would you say?
No.
What if they said, "We have the best Italian food ever"?
Okay.
I'm in. If they say, I'd say, "Okay, I'll settle. I can do Italian all the time."
Yeah.
And what if they say, "It's just in your head. We're still giving you a pill, but we zap a period of time in your head that makes you think you ate a super delicious meal, but you really just took a pill."
Yeah.
As long as you think you enjoyed a good meal.
As long as I feel the taste, it's okay.
Okay, even if it's totally, they just tricked your neurons in your brain.
As long as I tasted it, then it's okay.
Okay, even if it's a fake out. And you know it's a fake out.
Maybe. I don't know.
All right. You got to think about these things ahead of time. You got to be prepared. Say, "Hey, do we have beach days? Hey, on this spaceship and we're going planet to planet, are we doing beach days once in a while?"
Just go in the water. Some random planet with some random animals.
Yeah, do you do jet skis? Like, do we have any cool interstellar jet
I mean,
skis?
if they can travel light years in seconds, then probably.
I want a cool motorcycle. How many motorcycles do you have? They're like, "We don't do motorcycles. We just have super fast spaceships." It's like, I don't know. You take me to some cool place like Mars. I'm able to breathe for some reason. I want a motorcycle. Give me a dirt bike. They're
Exactly.
like, "You're wasting time."
No.
Sam, out. Look, I'm t look. You want me? I'm pretty cool. Tacos, and or Italian food, some dirt bikes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Do they have F1 near Alpha Centauri? What's the intergalactic F1 circuit look like?
Oh, yeah. I buy that
Could
one.
you imagine how fast you could drive with their technology?
The aliens.
Yeah. What if we did F you'd be so fast you could build an F1 track the size of America because they have the technology to go that fast. So you could be driving like 1,000 miles an hour. So you need a really big track.
And then you just have a turn like that, and then have north everyone just have explode.
Be, yeah, winding. So you have a winding turn up through Canada and then back into the U.S.
So all throughout Americas.
Yeah. So the chicane would be straight through Panama down to South America. The track would just get shoot straight through. That's the chicane. Right? 1,000 miles an hour. You need a big track. So we got to, you got to tell the aliens, okay, look, I'm thinking intergalactic F1 circuit. You're with me, right? Tacos, yeah. F1 mm-hmm. tracks. We can go to any solar system. We're like, oh, let's go to Rhombus 2143. They have this sick course.
What? Rhombus? That was the first name? Or is that real?
No, I just made that up.
I wouldn't be surprised that was a real name. Rhombus 2413.
Exactly. Okay, back to what we're talking about.
On topic now.
We're on topic. We're back. So the temporal scales of the modern creation story are equally daunting, but they're not unique. About 2,500 years ago, the Buddha described even larger time periods in a delightful parable about how long it would take to wear down an entire mountain just by dragging a silk cloth across it. Our modern time scale, with the universe just over 13 billion years old, seems modest in comparison. We can grasp it more easily if we shrink it 1 billion times so that the whole history of the universe can fit in 13 years. All right, you can grasp 13 years. That's how old you are. So we're going to use this scale so it doesn't blow your mind.
Okay.
Okay. In 13 years since the Big Bang, the Earth would have been formed 5 years ago.
Okay.
The first multi-celled organisms would have evolved 7 months ago.
Okay.
After flourishing for several weeks, the dinosaurs would have been wiped out by an asteroid about 3 weeks ago.
Okay. I'm getting really close now.
The first hominins would have appeared about 3 days ago.
Okay.
Our own species about 53 minutes ago.
Okay.
The first agriculturalist would have flourished about 5 minutes ago.
Okay. Wait, you said 53 seconds ago.
Well, 53 minutes.
Oh, 53 minutes.
You now have Homo sapiens. And agriculturalists, we started farming about 5 minutes ago.
Okay.
And the first agrarian civilizations would have appeared 3 minutes ago.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then modern industrial societies, you right mm-hmm. now, would have existed for just 6 seconds.
You mean seven? Sorry, eight?
Nine? Exactly.
Ten?
So in 12? 13 years, it ramped up big time about 53 minutes ago. So in 13 years, less than an hour, created farming, civilizations, and modern industrial everything.
In just an hour.
And in like less than 10 minutes. So if you think about your whole life of 13 years.
My whole very long
everything
life.
Everything really got popping about 5 minutes ago.
That's true.
Now, does that help show how teeny, teeny, weensy, tiny we've existed? Right? So if I said billions, you'd be like, oh, sure, 550 millions ago, the dinosaurs. 250 million, like, did that help to break it down in 13 years?
No.
No? It didn't seem like it was less time?
In the millions.
Millions sound bigger?
Yeah. But when you break it down in minutes, makes it shows we've only been alive for 6 seconds.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So let's go even further. So if modern industrial societies, how we live and work and all that, have existed for 6 seconds, that means you have been around for like a trillionth of a nanosecond out of 13 years.
Well, that's what he said, or is that what you said?
No, because if our society existed for just 6 seconds.
I,
so
me.
Imagine the last 200 years and 6 seconds.
I, me, have been alive for nanoseconds.
So, right. Simplicity and complexity. All right, does it sound complex or simple right now?
Pretty complex.
Okay, you could study the properties of hydrogen and the properties of oxygen as long as you liked without being able to predict the properties of water, which is what you get when you combine two hydrogen and one oxygen in a very specific way. H2O, we drink it all the time, we need it.
Water.
What thematic coherence can we possibly find across all the skills and disciplines included within big history? We must begin by exploring what we mean by complexity. Oh man, trying to pick a paragraph.
Pick a paragraph.
Doesn't just blow your mind in half. Have evidence in nature of science. Relativism.
What?
It goes something like this. We can never really know if what someone says is true or not. We can't even know whether to trust our own senses because they may be conveying inaccurate impressions about the real world. Now, you explain what I just said in your own words.
Basically, we can't trust anything.
Yeah.
Say it again.
Yeah, that's it. In this lecture, we ask, why should we trust modern science? We discuss the nature of truth, in particular scientific truth. We illustrate the discussion by surveying the evolution of modern techniques for dating events in the past. Now, here's something cool it said. We just don't know what there was before the moment of creation. We do not even know if time or space existed. In such cases, scientists will generally admit their ignorance while continuing to search for new forms of evidence. Yet, from the moment after creations, astronomers can tell a well-grounded scientific story based on masses of carefully tested evidence. Alert, Sophia has volleyball later. All right. To explain the story, we need to use some very large and very small numbers, for which we use exponential notation. Have you done this in math class?
What?
Like 10 to the power of 1.
Yeah.
10 to the power of 3.
That's so simple.
Right? What's 10 to the power of 3?
30. Sorry.
10 times 10 10, yeah. Right? Now, if you want to go negative, right? You want to go smaller, like a fraction, you would do 10. To the negative 3, so that'd be 0.001.
Okay.
Or a thousand. So 10 to the negative 3 would be 1,000. So 0.0001. So you go reverse. So a positive number is bigger, negative number is smaller. You move the decimal over. Okay? Now, thinking of that number, so for example, 10 to the negative 2 is 100th, 10 to the negative 3 is 1,000th, okay? Now this part, I'm like, yeah, I get it. Then immediately the next paragraph says, okay, from about 10 to the negative 35 of a second, are you seeing all the 0.0000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000 second.
Okay.
After the moment of creation, we can tell a good scientific story. Something appeared.
Whoa, really?
It was tiny. The size of an atom, perhaps, and inconceivably hot. It was expanding rapidly and cooling fast. At this point, energy and matter were indistinguishable. As this something cooled, things and forces, you see my quotations?
I think I do.
In a series of phases changes, rather like the change steam undergoes as it turns to water. Gravity appeared from the chaos, as did the strong and electromagnetic forces. I don't know why I use so many quotes. Just roll with it. You're acting like it's, like I'm guessing it's this word. Is it that?
He doesn't know.
Basically, he doesn't know. Okay, from about 10 to the negative 33 to 10 to the negative 32 seconds, the universe expanded faster than the speed of light, growing from the size of an atom to the size of a galaxy. Now, this is where that's a pretty big bang, you know?
Were the other planets here?
That's a good question.
Probably.
Don't know. Why would it expand that crazy? Or was it just this corner of the universe?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
No, I know.
So this phase is known as inflation. Within the first second, quarks, the building blocks of atomic nuclei, were created in positive and negative forms. These then proceeded to annihilate each other. Imagine they were you and Christian are immediately in a room and you just start boxing like crazy until to the death. That's what happened when the universe expanded. You're like, all of a sudden you're there like, ooh, battle. Just annihilate each other, leaving just a few survivors. These forlorn survivors formed protons and neutrons. Electrons were created in an equally violent process. So when you got body slammed by your cousin, a few minutes after that, the universe consisted of hot plasma, which is your blood, spilling on the floor. And then a mixture of energy and charge, some atomic particles, your teeth, flying all over the place, a bit like the center of the sun today. It's a violent explosion, right? And then after that, 380,000 years after that, everything kind of calmed down. You guys are like cool now. And it was cool enough for positively charged protons to capture negatively charged electrons, which means you guys got some water, sat for a minute, creating the first simple atoms of hydrogen and helium. Right?
What the heck?
Because the positive charges of protons are canceled by the negative charges. Atoms are just neutral. So electromagnetic radiation, like light from the sun, could now travel freely through the universe without getting tangled in electromagnetism. That's why light can just go straight in all directions until it stops.
It's because of that, the tangles.
Right? That's what I was thinking. The tangles. You've got it.
No, I was... I do.
Yeah, you got okay. It.
Cool.
All right. So I'm going to stop there.
That was a lot of complicated topics.
Okay, big takeaways. When you get body slammed, teeth fly out.
Yes.
No. Well, that's true. Could. Yeah. What do you think? That's just, I barely am scratching the surface. So many more lectures. I really want to read the rest to you directly.
No, thank
but
you.
But you would hate me and not be friendly. You wouldn't be cool.
My head would hurt for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
At this age, if I read it.
Yeah, at this age. No, try this age. No, how's it at that age?
Well, you are at least understanding it.
Is it kind of?
Exactly. I can't really.
You can.
Not.
You do.
No.
And you will.
Yeah, I will. Not now. That was pretty complicated.
It's good.
It's good.
You're putting in work. We're listening. We're trying to learn. Exactly. Trying to expand our minds.
Exactly.
Try to understand that we are but a teeny tiny part of this entire universe.
Yeah.
Small part of this earth. But you are important in our world. So. This is why you have to brush your teeth.
Why?
Right? Okay, that's all I got. That's all I wanted to read to you for now.
No, I don't have anything to say.
Any good YouTube channels we should be checking out? How are those workout bros trying to do the what was it?
The Richie Pinero. I don't know how you say his
Rich
last name.
Pinheiro.
Yeah.
The winner of a bunch of Mr.
They
Olympias.
quit because they couldn't feel the weight.
Wait, he has an 8-hour arm workout and they couldn't do it?
Because they were about to finish, or like they're close, but
How close?
eventually, I don't know, maybe like set 14 out of 16 or whatever, something like that. But they said eventually, like, they couldn't feel the weight.
They couldn't feel the weight.
So they quit because they felt like they're gonna tear something.
So they really worked out for like 6 hours on just arms.
And then, but then out of nowhere, like, I started, like, the camera took a break and then came back, and then they started benching.
So were their arms
So, and
exploding? Were they
then,
crying? Were they?
no, they just couldn't feel
You
the
just
weight, so they quit because they
they
didn't want to
grab
tear
it.
something.
That's insane. That's crazy. That he had an 8-hour arm workout. Who
That's
does that? I guess that's how you win Mr. Olympia.
Yeah, he has the just biggest arms in the
Did you see a picture of him?
Yes, his
Isn't he
arms are
monstrous?
enormous.
His arms look like your chest. You have two chests right above your elbow.
Exactly.
How would that feel?
I don't even know how you like you walk.
He does nothing but just attempt. Imagine trying to take a shower when you have arms the size of two thighs together. Or just eating. They act like they're trying to just struggle to reach a fork to their face. Have you seen some of those dudes are super flexible? They do yoga, but they're ginormous, like Rich Piana. And they're like, ooh, you can't even move around. And some of these guys actually stretch every day, so they are flexible. Like super weird. Look up that like bodybuilder competition stretches, like extreme stretching. It looks fake. It looks just as fake as those dudes who hang on the pole and hold sideways.
That's real.
That's real, but that also looks fake.
But it's real.
Just like them doing crazy yoga. It's weird.
Guys doing a human flag.
Creeps me out.
The show's insane.
What other workouts did you guys watch?
Sam Solek.
Who?
Another bodybuilder.
Sam Solek?
Sulek,
Is he
yeah.
old or current?
No, he's like 20.
It's huge.
Yes, is
Is this where you
enormous.
learned pump cover from?
No. What?
It's just fun to say. So
No,
Sam
but he's
Solek,
enormous.
does he post his workouts?
No, he's doing winter bulk. So me and Christian were watching him.
What's a winter bulk?
Bulking is where you get to eat whatever you want, and that's how you gain a lot of muscle.
Eat whatever you want. What was he eating?
I don't know. We didn't watch his eating videos, but
Just workout videos? What was he doing?
whatever the day was, I don't know.
Leg thrust, 2,000 pounds.
I don't probably.
What was he doing?
I don't remember.
Just working out?
Yeah.
Just getting swole?
Yep.
Nice. What else?
Nothing really.
That's cool.
Starting up the Oculus again.
Yes, VR. If you find a cool game, let me know. It makes me a little dizzy.
Ever since we lost every single one of those games, I spent over $200 on.
Hey, happens. It's called a
No.
data dump. You lost your games. Guess
Yeah,
what? They have
but
more
they
games.
cost
They got
money.
more
They
games.
cost money. There's no free
No, here's what
games.
happened. Meta put me in a dangerous loop of frustration, and I could not escape the agony of trying to deal with the email, to call, to get a text, to go to the Oculus, to go back to the email, to go back to call, to get service, to go back. I'm out. I'm out. I'm not doing this. Reset. Reboot. Lose it all. I don't care. Full reset.
You don't care about money.
Just like
Lots of money.
our laptops, you have to fully reboot the software every year or it gets slower over time. So like all these laptops are due to be completely wiped and rebooted.
Okay.
And I need you to do that.
Okay.
Google it.
No.
Cool, thanks. All right, take care, everybody.
Be healthy, y'all.
Be healthy, y'all. Take a walk. Drink some water. Mm-hmm. Go to bed.
Yeah.
Read.
Yeah.
Cool?
Cool.
Cool, cool, cool.
Cool, cool. Bye.
Berenson's out. Although he was imitated often, felt like I was being myself. It's a shame that someone else's song.